One of Lord Shiva's names is Ashutosh, which means easily pleased. And he, of course, the first temple we came to is a Sheshwar Mahadev. There's a very beautiful story about how he came to Nandagaon, to Nandagram. Lord Shiva came here to Nandagram to see Krishna. So we have also come to Nandagram to see Krishna and Balaram. At least I hope so. When we hear these, we come to these Leela Stalis, pastime places in Braj Mandal, and we hear the glorious stories of the devotees of the Lord and the Lord's interactions with them, then we should paint our hearts with these pastimes, like you paint the walls of your room. So we can paint the walls of our heart with these pastimes. And we should think, what's in this for me? Any good businessman, whenever a businessman is doing something, he's thinking, what is the profit for me? So we are spiritual, not businessmen, but I mean, let's say our business is bhakti. It's our family business is preaching and devotion. So we come to these places and we want to think, what does this pastime have for me? What is it teaching for me? What is the benefit for me? What can I derive? What can I derive from these teachings? So this should be our receptivity. This should be our openness and our thoughtfulness. Because every devotee is a muni. Muni means a thinker, a contemplator. So this story is about the story of how Lord Shiva attained the darshan of Krishna. This Shiva Linga that we saw and took darshan of was installed 5,000 years ago by Bajranab, one of the original Shiva deities. And it's called, there's different ways, different acharyas describe the name in different ways, depending on how they break the word. So, if you say Ashish, Ashisha, or Ashish, Ashish means one who easily fulfills desires. And if you take it Ash, Asha, because when Dinabandhu tells a story, he tells it like this, and we'll tell that also. He says Ash. Ash means hope. Asha. We say Ashabandha. Ashabandha means hope against hope. It's one of the principles in nectar devotion, Ashabandha, that we have great hope. Devotee is very optimistic. He's pessimistic about the material world and optimistic about the spiritual prospects. So one day, Lord Shiva came to Nandagaon, to the hill which we will ascend in a few hours. And he came to the bottom of the hill. He wanted to have darshan of Krishna in Nandagaon. Krishna moved here when he was about 6 years old and 8 months. He spent 3 years and 4 months in Gokul, which we were yesterday. And then he spent 3 years and 4 months in Chatikar. That's where he became known as Gopal. He started taking out the cows there, Gopastami. Then at the age of 7, he moved to Nandagram. And he stayed here for about 4 years, from 7 to 10 and 3 quarters, 11. So each place you can see there's equal division of Krishna's pastimes where he stayed. He stayed 1/3 of the time in Gokul, 1/3 in Chatikar, which is near our temple area, Krishna Balaram, and 1/3 in Nandagaon. So Shiva came to the bottom of the hill, and to announce his arrival, he made the sound of a coil or cuckoo. You must hear so many in Mayapur. There's so many in Mayapur. You heard those birds? They go, something like this. Now, I'm a little sore throat, so I'm a sore throat cuckoo. So not very good in what we call a cheap imitation. But at any rate, so he made this sound to announce his arrival, to let Krishna know, because Krishna, he's a child, so children are trying, oh, what's that? Mommy, what's that? So then, when he came, then he has his din-din drum, Damru. You know, see sometimes the guys with the cobras. The guys with the cobras, they always have one of these, the cobra in the basket, you know, the snake in the basket. And they always go, ta-ta-ta-ta, and they get your attention. So he came, and then he knocked, and then the servant went to Mother Yashoda and she said, oh, there's one Tyagi Yogi. There's one yogi to see. He wants to take darshan of your Lala. So then Yashoda goes and opens the door. Huh? And she sees this man, he's covered with ashes and he has one eye and two eyes and three eyes. He has three eyes because three eyes are better than one or better than two. He has three eyes. And so one, of course, is the eye of enlightenment, but because it's also here, which is the reference point for the pineal gland. That's another thing, yoga stuff. But at any rate, so then his body is covered with ashes. So if that's not enough to scare any mother, then around his neck he has a beautiful necklace, a beautiful mala, very attractive, something that anyone would love to see. Skulls, dried out skulls. One, two, three, and they're all smiling. Or whatever the skulls do. I think that's the only time people smile is when they're turned into a skull. You ever see a skull, they look like they're smiling. When you're alive, you're frowning and crying. And then you see the skull, all the teeth are there. I remember in college, when I was in medical school, we had all the, you know, this stuff. Bodies and skeletons and everything. So they were plastic. So then he has this necklace of skulls, and then to top it off, if that's not enough to scare any mother, then he has all these cobras. And I mean, what to speak of a lady? If a man sees a cobra, he says, yeah, well, see you around, buddy. He starts backpedaling. I can't imagine a lady with a soft heart, as she opens the door and some man standing here with snakes around going like this. Boom! Boom! Hey, blah, 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 blah. What's this? Dun, 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 dun. No, nobody's here. Go. Chill out. So what Mother Yashoda, she went back when he came to the door and he said, I want to see your Lala. She closed the door, she went back and got some rotis. She thought, this is some Sadhu Baba doing madhukari. He's doing madhukari. Madhukari means Rai Maya Rade Rade Roti Dedo Roti Maya Rade Rade. They don't say roti, they just say Rade Rade. And it's understood what they want and they get one roti. So she went and got a pile of roti. Said, here, Sadhu Baba, take this now. Jao, jao. Then no way, my Lala, he's not going to look. If he sees you, if he sees you, he'll die. When Lord Shiva was denied darshan of his Ishtadev, of his worshipable Lord Krishna. And he came to this forest. This is, of course, a deep forest where this temple, the Shiva temple we just visited, he came there, to that place. And he sat in meditation. And his sankalpa, his determined vow was that I'm going to sit here and I'm not going to move. I'm not going to move, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink any water, I'm going to sit here until I get the darshan of my Krishna. Such determination, such attachment to Krishna. He gave up all eating and drinking, I'm going to sit in this forest, and then if you take the name Asheshwar Mahadev, meaning hope, then he was hoping against hope that somehow or other he would get the darshan of Krishna. And of course, his hope, we have so many hopes. Oh, I hope this guy will marry me, and I hope this girl will marry me, and I hope I get a new job, and I hope I get some money. And we have so many hopes that run through our brains and distract us from this, the main hope, or the only hope we should have. And the only hope we should have is, we hope we should have the... Because Shiva, what hope did he have? Was he hoping that Parvati would have a cake waiting for him when he got back to Kailash? Was he hoping that Ganesh would have cleaned the house before he got back? Was he hoping that Kartikeya would be waiting for him at the front door with a garland? Was he hoping that it would snow in Kailash? He had the greatest of all hopes, the greatest possible hope he had. There's no greater hope than the hoping to have Krishna's darshan. So this is what he's teaching us here. How many hopes do we have? Oh, I hope I get initiated. I hope I get second initiated. I hope I get third initiated. I hope I get liberated. I hope I initiated, liberated, you know, whatever. We have so many hopes. And we're praying to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, I hope I get a new car. Oh, Krishna, I hope I get a new job. Oh, Krishna, I hope I get a new house. But Shiva had the greatest of all hopes, and it was only one. I hope I get the darshan of Krishna. So that's why it's called Asheshwar Mahadev, that great devotee, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, that great devotee of the Lord, Shambhu, or Mahadev. He had this greatest of all hopes, and he eliminated all other possible hopes. I don't want anything else in this world. This is the only thing I hope for, is to have the darshan of Nandalal. Nandalal, Yashodadulal. Nandanandan, Yashodanandan. This is my only hope, my only aspiration. Nothing on my mind. No other thing in my mind, no other desire in my mind, and no other feeling in my heart but this. So we have to compare the standard of the great. This is the greatest devotee, and all of us are trying to become the greatest devotees. Because if we don't become the greatest devotee, as far as greatest as we possibly can, we can't attain the eternal service of Radha and Krishna. This is all. So Lord Shiva is teaching. Let's follow my example. Become like me. Wash off all their hopes. Eliminate all their desires. Sit in the forest. Sit in the forest. Where is the forest? The forest is the temple. The forest is your home. And that's just like he sat in this forest. And meanwhile, when Krishna, when he understood, oh, my mother thought that this my greatest devotee, he's just some tantric yogi begging a roti. A tantric yogi begging a roti. And she's driven him away. Krishna was crying and crying and crying. And Nanda Baba, he heard, oh, my Lala, what is that? That, my wife, what has she done? She slapped him. I'll hit her so much. What is she touching my son for? Because husbands and fathers and mothers are always competing for the love of the children. So then Nanda runs, oh, my Lala, que pasa? Kya hua? Kya hua? What happened? And then Nanda Maharaj, oh, he's crying. And then he bought some candy. No, I don't want, you know. Just crying. So then Mother Yashoda said, oh, Lala, come on. And pushed her away. Then Madhu Mangal came. So many people came. Rohini Ma came. Still Krishna crying. So no matter how many different family members of Krishna tried to stop him from crying, it was to no avail. No one was successful. So Mother Yashoda, she was thinking, because she's, of course, pure devotee. She was thinking, oh, possibly, maybe that tantric yogi that came, maybe I made some offense to him. Because after all, he did have an asha, a hope or a desire to have darshan of my Lala. When I drove him away, maybe I was a little rude. And anyway, so she sent some maidservants, handmaidens. Please go look around, see if you can find this tantric yogi. He's very easy to identify. You can't mistake him for any other yogi. He, first of all, when you see his car, you'll know it's him. He has this huge bull. I saw him parked at the bottom of the hill. He had this huge bull and a big trident, a trishun, big spear, and skulls and snakes and ashes and three eyes and what to speak of his the pants he was wearing. He was wearing a tiger skin, latest fashions. So some of the mandris, I'm not mother mandris, but maidservants, they went around scoured the countryside, as they say, and they found over here in this forest where we came from, they found this yogi. Then the gopis went there. Yogi Baba, hey Yogi. Because for the Brijbasis, they see 1,001 yogis. This one, that one, they all have a different dress. Some wear tiger skin, some wear nothing. Digambara. So the Vrajagopis, they're seeing so many tantric yogis sitting around like this, sleeping and all. So they called, hey, Mother Yashoda wants you to come to the top of the hill. So then he went to the top of the hill, and then she brought out Krishna in their arms. And then she said, Yogi Baba, here's my son. And then Lord Shiva, he said, oh, Yashoda Maya, just please, all I want is that your son will put his lotus feet on my head. So then she said, no problem. So she took her baby, she's holding her baby, and just, you know, put her feet on his head. As soon as Krishna's feet touched Shiva's head, then Shiva started Tandava Nritya. Ah, ah, ah. Gopal, 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 Gopal. Dancing ecstatically. And when Krishna, when Gopal, when Nandalal, when he saw this, he's, this is very good. He was clapping his hands, he was laughing and laughing. And Mother Yashoda said, oh, it worked. He was, this Yogi Baba is the only one that could stop Krishna from crying. Oh, Yogi Baba, please, you're very good at stopping babies from crying. Could you please stay here? Can you please stay here, up here with me? And whenever my Lala cries, then I'll put his feet on your head and then he'll stop crying. Because mothers are always looking for some magic way to stop babies from crying. You give them this plastic thing in a mouth, you know, or whatever, you know, some kind of thing, a rattle. So this was even better. It was a living person. You know, he would just park right here and then whenever he cries, I bring him out and finish. So then he said, I'm not so easily purchased. I'm not so easily purchased. I have two conditions if you want me to stay here in Nandishwar, in Nandagram. First condition is that after you feed your Lala, you will give me his prasad, Mahaprasad, Gopal Mahaprasad. The second condition is after you bathe your Lala, because every morning you're bathing him, that you'll take his Charanamrita and pour it on my head. So Mother Yashoda said, no problem. Koi baat nahi. There's no difficulty. Mushkil nahi. This is no problem. No problem for me. So then, from that day forward, Lord Shiva, he stayed right outside, just outside the palace door, on the left-hand side. And when we go up to see the temple at Nandagaon, and we'll have darshan, first we'll see on the left, we'll see Shiva. And the name of that linga there is Nandishwar. Nandishwar, the Lord of Nandi. Nandishwar Mahadev. So now he started staying there. He's staying there eternally, as Krishna and Balaram are staying. And every day he gets the Mahaprasadam from Gopal and the Charanamrita. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki. So in this... Oh, not finished. In this way, Lord Shiva's asha, his hope and his desire was fulfilled. He was determined. He did austerity. He meditated on Krishna and he prayed and he was successful. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is the book by Srila Rupa Goswami, some acharyas, they say that this book, which is the guiding light for devotion, was written here in Terakadamba, and other people say it was written in Sevakunj, where Radhadamodar temple is. But we can harmonize this by saying some part was written here and some part was written there, because it's a very big book. So, following this philosophical point of Ashabandha, we thought we would read directly from Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, which this quality is described. It's an extremely important devotional quality to cultivate hope, Ashabandha. That is why Rupa Goswami enumerates this quality in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And already that is part of our nature. It is part of our makeup to have hope. Of course, some people are by nature pessimistic and hopeless. But devotees are very hopeful people. They have a great prospect. By connection with Guru and Krishna, the Krishna connection, one becomes hopeful. Very, very hopeful. And this hope is supported by realizations. And this hope is increased by visions, by darshan, by blessings. And his hope expands more and more. So now we'll hear from Srila Prabhupada his holy words about this concept. Of course, this is not an easily acquired quality, Ashabandha. Because Ashabandha is one of the nine symptoms of bhava bhakti. Because now you have to think about it. We're performing sadhana bhakti. We must be practicing with a desire, with intense desire to attain bhava. Otherwise, that's why Krishnas Kaviraj is telling in Chaitanya Charitamrita that you can practice Vaidhi sadhana for millions of lifetimes and never attain perfection. If it's just rules, niyam and yama and niyam, rules and regulations, chant and sit and up and stand and up, like mechanical, robotic. There must be an intense desire to, I must attain bhava, I must attain love for Krishna. I must do everything with as much feeling as I have. Whatever dead stone feelings we have, we must perform. So, because the lower stage brings us to the upper stage, but the upper stage is coming down by, bhava bhakti has these symptoms. There's nine symptoms of bhava. One is that someone at the level of bhava, he never wastes a minute. He never wastes a minute. Kalatvam. He never wastes a minute without being engaged in Krishna service. That's automatic. These are the automatic lakshana, the sarup lakshana, the primary characteristics of someone in bhava. But we can say, I'm only a beginner. I'm not at the level of bhava bhakti. I'm only chanting Hare Krishna and trying to do a little service. But we can still take this principle and say, how much am I every moment and moment to moment engaged in Krishna's service? Not much. Well, I should improve. I should increase. This is the standard. In other words, the standard of excellence. So we want to strive for that. Like if you open a business, you say, listen, this is our standard. And everyone in this operation, we must work. These are our standards. We must work to fulfill these standards. So one of the standards is Ashabandha, hope against hope. So Prabhupada describes it, and it's a very nice description. What is the definition of Ashabandha? It means steadfast, positive hope, a strong conviction, belief, that Krishna will bestow His mercy upon me. Little old me. Right? Me? I'm not a sannyasi. I'm not a brahmachari. I'm not a guru. I'm just a little housewife. And I have my kids and so much responsibilities. I won't get the mercy. You have to be a sannyasi, GBC, ABC, to get the mercy. The Prabhupada's saying, a strong conviction that Krishna will bestow His mercy upon me. Ashabandha means to apply one's mind very diligently in bhajan with this firm faith. Rupa Goswami writes a prayer to explain. He writes a prayer to explain this great concept of bhakti. This is the prayer for Nectar Devotion. I have no love for Krishna. Well, that's at least one honest thing I've said today. I have no love for Krishna. Nor for the limbs of devotion, like hearing and chanting. And he says, na prema shravanadi bhakti rapi, if you want to get technical. Nor do I have adequate philosophical knowledge about Krishna. Nor do I have I done any auspicious deeds. But above all, I am not born in a nice family eligible for worshipping Krishna. Therefore, I must simply pray to you, my Lord, O Gopi Janavallabha. I simply wish and hope that some way or other I may be able to approach your lotus feet and have your lotus feet on my head, just like Lord Shiva, Asheshwar Mahadev, received the lotus feet of Gopal on his head in this very same place, Nandagaon. So this is Prabhupada's explanation and Rupa Goswami's explanation of Ashabandha. In just summary, he says, I have no love I don't know anything. I don't know any philosophy. I don't know any shlokas. I've never done any punya karma, any sukriti. I've never done any good thing. I was just a drug salesman in Moscow or whatever. And, okay, not only that, because some people might say, okay, I was born in a good family, because many people in India, they're born in good families, but they have no love for Krishna, and they never done anything good in this life, never done anything auspicious, and they don't have any knowledge, but they can say, well, at least I'm born in a good family, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm Bhargava Gotra, Kasyap Gotra, Kshatriya Brahman, Alaga Laga Gotra. But when we're from America or Russia or France or wherever, we're like zero. Zero. Mlech, Yavana, Nashtik, Anaryan. You know, all kinds of bad words. We're really bad off. But this is Rupa Goswami saying, yes, I know about you. I know all about you. I'm writing about you. I'm Trikalakya. I see the past, present, and future. So I'm writing about the Russians and Americans. Don't worry. Have great hope. Krishna will appear to you. Or let's say us, not you. It's not you and us. It's us. Krishna will appear to us. It says, a steadfast, positive hope. A strong conviction that Krishna will bestow His mercy upon me. In other words, we have no eligibility, no adhikar, no qualification for such great fortune of having Krishna's lotus feet on our head. We're not like Lord Shiva. He has a good birth. He's Krishna, he's Vishnu Tattva. Sadashiva is expanded from Sankarshan. So he's something extraordinary. He has all good qualities, he has all knowledge. But still, he had to work, he had to endeavor to get Krishna's feet on his head. It didn't come like, okay, look, you know, I'm Lord Shiva, I have so much knowledge, and I have good birth. And I've done so many good things. Still, it wasn't enough. He had to do some endeavor. So this is a very inspiring place for us, a very inspiring form of Lord Shiva. So we can offer our prayers there when we go back, offer some water to him, and pray that pray to Lord Shiva that he will give us more and more hope. We should become very, very hopeful over our prospect. Our prospect is positive, progressive, beautiful, sweet, and charming. Our prospect is pure love of Krishna. Eternal residence in Goloka Vrindavan. Serving Radha and Krishna and Krishna Balaram with our Guru and all our associates and family members in the spiritual world. This is a very positive prospect. Rupa Goswami Pada Ki. This is a very lonely place even today after 500 years. Well, you could imagine what it was like 500 years ago. How lonely. Of course, there were no buildings here, there was no cement, there was no anything here. Only all these trees that are all bent over in ecstasy, they can't figure out which way to go. And when they started going straight like a normal tree, then Krishna's flute and his pastimes, they bent this way and that way, they really are quite confused. When a person gets intoxicated, they don't know which way to walk. They walk to the left and then the right and straight and back. So these trees are all completely intoxicated with witnessing Krishna's wonderful pastimes that happened here. The unique feature of Terakadamba, aside from being the bhajan stali of Rupa Goswami, is that there are many, many pastimes of Krishna with the cowherd boys, as we unveiled that lamination which was requested by the pujari, and the Bombay devotees gave that, Chopari Beach. So that shows there was the cowherding pastimes take place here, and also pastimes with the gopis. There's the rasa dance, and many, many things are taking place here. That's why behind us there's a ras mandal. There's a raised circular platform of bricks and cement. It's called ras mandal. And then there's a kadamba tree growing there. There's two of them. That's, of course, a descendant or a baby of the original kadamba trees that Krishna used to climb. It's called Ter Kadamba. So those are some of the great-grandchildren of the original mother tree, mother Kadamba tree. And so that tree is also witnessing, as his great-grandfather was witnessing Krishna's pastimes in this place, so now the great-grandson, or daughter, whoever, is witnessing the pastimes. When Rupa Goswami, when he would write his books here. And it's described that when he was writing shlokas, he was writing stavamala here, especially stavamala, so many poetry, so much poetry. Whenever his feelings were very deep and feeling separation from Radha and Krishna, he started writing about it. Then all the leaves on these trees, because they were interacting with it, because he was reciting the shlokas and then writing them down, he would recite them. And when he spoke them, the trees would hear the shlokas. And when they were describing the painful mood and feelings of Radharani and Krishna and separation from each other, all the leaves of the trees would dry up and fall off. It's described. And then, when he would start reciting shlokas about Radha and Krishna meeting together, it's called Sambhog Leela, coming together, and Julan, or let's see, swing pastimes, or splashing water. Then all the Kadamba branches of the Kadamba trees, because he was actually doing his bhajan where all the Kadamba trees are. These are a different type of tree. But all the Kadamba tree would sprout new leaves. New leaves would come. Then flowers would come. It's an amazing interaction with Rupa Goswami and the trees here, because the trees are also devotees. All the trees are devotees. Another interesting point about this place, Terakadamba, that Terakadamba is halfway between Yavat Gram and Nandagram. It's the midway point. Yavat Gram is where Radharani is staying with her in-laws, her whatever it's called, her mother-in-law and father-in-law. Sasural. He's staying over there. And so she comes, as you know, in Nitya Leela, every morning at about this time, when we were just getting here, of course, I don't know if anyone saw her, but Radharani and the gopis, about 7 o'clock in the morning, around 7, 6:30 or 7, they walk every morning from Yavatgram to Nandagram and go up the hill to cook Krishna's breakfast. So this, we have an expression in English about, in terms of romantic dealings, we say, listen, I'll meet you halfway. I will meet you halfway. So that originates with Krishna. Because this place is halfway to Yavat. So Radharani comes halfway, and Krishna comes halfway, and then they have Milan. They meet over here, in this place. So it's in very much a cooperative relationship. The ideal relationship, Radha and Krishna. So sometimes in the evening, when the full moon is rising, in the east, as the sun is rising, the moon is rising there, it's a very beautiful night. Krishna climbs the Kadamba tree, these Kadamba trees here, and he starts playing his murali. The murali is for nighttime, because the murali is like 1 meter long. It's like 1 meter long. He starts playing the murali. Very, very deep and enchanting sounds. And it goes all the way to Yavat. And then Radharani and the gopis, they hear that sound of Krishna's flute on the full moon night. And they become so attracted and so enchanted. They forget everything. They become spellbound. And they run here to this place. And then here in this area, that's why this whole area is so surcharged with rasa and bhav. Then they have one rasa dance here. Very, very pleasurable rasa dance. So here in this place is also where this Madhurya rasa is churned and tasted in a very fine and beautiful way. Just Radharani. Krishna's only coming here, and he's only calling Radharani from Yavatgram and her Astasakis and a handful of Sakis. There's no Chandravali, there's no Shaibya and Padma, Lagalaga Sakis, no. They're another side. And then Ritogram is another side. So this is Radharani's group only. So that's why Rupa Goswami is here, because he's in Radharani's group and Lita Sakis, Yuteshwari. Rupa Goswami is under the shelter and serving together with Lita Sakhi. So that's in the evening. In the morning, in about the same time that Radharani is, just by chance or coincidence, the same time in the morning, 6:30, 7 in the morning, when Radharani and the gopis are coming to cook Krishna's breakfast, then Krishna gathers over here with the cows. And because nearby here there's a goshala, Nanda Baba's goshala. So Krishna, many cows are also spread out over here under the trees, Kadamba trees. So Krishna tells Nanda Baba, oh, the boys and I are going to go over there to to Terakadamba and we're going to milk the cows. And so he said, okay, Lala, you go. So, of course, this is all Krishna's plan to meet Radharani. So now Radharani is coming with the Lita Sakhi, Vishaka, Asta Sakhis, and she's walking, and then they get near this place, and then Lita Sakhi says, oh, look, there, look who's over there. There's Govinda's over there. Govinda's there, and he's milking the cows. He's a very naughty boy. You don't know what he may do. We should go, there's two paths. The path comes like this from Yavat, and it breaks. There's one shortcut to go to Nandagram, and there's one long way around to go to Nandagram. And Krishna is right near that fork in the road. Lita Sakhi said, it is not safe. We can't trust him. Anybody that's black can't be trusted. His heart is black. His skin is black. He's a very black fellow. Dark, dark lord. So better, I think we should go the long way around and avoid any difficulty. Because look, I have a brand new sari on. And I don't want to get any mischief with this boy. I want Yashoda to see it and maybe she'll be happy. So then they come there. Then Radharani says, I have nothing to fear. Why am I afraid? Why should I be afraid of him? I have nothing to fear from him. Who is he? You know, Lalita, forget it. We're taking the shortcut. Why we walk all the way around? We'll go right by him and what can he do to us? You're with me. If you're here, then there's nothing to fear. So they're walking, and then just when Radharani, she's just passing Krishna, and he's milking the cow, and she's just, of course, she's trying to pretend like she's not interested and not attracted, and she has her veil is covering her face and walking very shyly, and no, I don't care anything. And she's looking out of this corner of her eye at Krishna, so Krishna is pretending he's not interested also. And he's milking the cow, Then as soon as he sees Radharani, he goes, shh. He goes, shh, shh, shh. And he takes the milk and he shoots it. Because he's down here, and she has her face, it goes like this. And boom, right on Radharani's face, she gets completely a milk bath. Which is nice, it's Radharani Abhishek. But she wasn't planning to get bathed with all her clothes on. So she said, hey, what is this? All the boys, all the coward boys are laughing, aha! And all the gopis, we're going to get you. And then this is one pastime that happened at Terakadam. To be so lucky to have milk in your face from Krishna. So another morning, because every morning Radharani walks by here, and every morning Krishna's here. And Krishna, he likes variety more than anybody. He never does the same thing in the same place in the same way twice. Always something new. Nava Yovanam. A newer way to... Like every day you go in the bathroom. Ha, 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 ha. It's like a robot. But sometimes, Krishna brushes his teeth with his finger, sometimes with a neem twig, sometimes with a bubble twig. Many things. So many things. Sometimes it's some paste that they make and put some. It's always something different. He's the emperor of variety. There's never a dull moment with Krishna. He's always live. He's a live wire. He's very lively. So one day, Krishna was milking the cows. And And Radharani was walking by with the Sakhis. And Lalita said, look, we're late. Go, fast. We have to go very fast. Jaldi, fatafat. And then Radharani was thinking, oh, but I'm feeling so much desire to have meet with Shyam, have some meeting. But my Lalita, she's pushing me. You go, fast. Hurry up, jaldi, go very fast. So she is thinking, somehow I have to stop. I have to slow this march down so I can spend some time and catch a few glances of Krishna's face and maybe a word or two or something. I have to have some exchange with Krishna. Something. So she was thinking, oh yeah, this is a very good idea. So then she's walking along and Lalita Sakhi is next to her, and Vishaka's on one side, Rupa Manjri's behind, and some other Manjri's in front. And as soon as she got by where Krishna's milking the cow, she put her finger like this. And she has one pearl necklace around her neck, and she went, boom! Boom! And she broke that necklace, and all the pearls, they went all around, all over the floor. Oh, Lalita, stop, stop, stop! My necklace, it broke. Oh, I have to get these pearls. These are not, this is a hati moti. This is a very costly, hati moti, very costly, elephant pearl, very costly. Oh, come on, Sakhi. So everyone's picking, and Krishna's, oh, look, oh, Radharani, oh, you broke your necklace. So Krishna stopped milking. He said, oh, let me help you. So, actually it was like this, excuse me. That was another. So Radharani's picking the pearls, and Krishna's milking, and so many pearls are right around where, so many pearls have rolled, have fallen off her necklace and rolled right under Krishna's feet, right by Krishna's feet, where he's sitting, squatting down and milking the cow with a golden milk pail. So Radharani's picking, and as she's picking the pearl, she's moving closer and closer to Krishna, and Krishna's, so as she gets closer, then she picks a pearl, and then Krishna looks at her, and she looks at Krishna, and such sweet exchange they have. One, Krishna is looking at Radharani. Radharani has her face covered because she's very shy in front of anyone, and she's picking her pearl up. She picks up the pearl, and she's looking, and that how they were looking at each other, and how they were feeling, and what they were exchanging through their love-laden glances, we can only understand when we come to the level of prema bhakti. But at least the pastime is described. It took place like this. So we can hear it, and that can make some etching in our heart, some like carving, etching in our heart. And someday we may see this pastime, and then we'll understand by the purity of our heart and the depth of our devotion, we'll understand one drop of the ocean of love that's moving in the hearts of Radha and Krishna. There are many other pastimes that took place here, but time does not permit us. So one of the most important and significant pastimes for all of us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, aspiring for the service, especially aspiring to assist and serve the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, which means Radha Dasyam. Because Krishna is really only served by Radharani. She is the best servitor of Krishna. And to think that someone can serve Krishna directly is quite incorrect thinking. Everything, we always serve under some authority or some teacher or some master. Das, 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 anudas. So finally the service ends with Radharani. She is the greatest servitor. And she is the greatest lover and worshipper of Krishna. So Krishna likes anything from Radharani's hand. A flower, like Prabhupada said, first we offer the flower to Radharani. We say, oh Radharani, please offer this to your Krishna. Please offer this flower to your Krishna. So there's nothing, no greater service that could be rendered than trying to please Srimati Radharani, than trying to serve her, because that will make Krishna so happy, because she is his greatest servitor. So Lord Chaitanya and his subsequent followers in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, they are teaching that this is the ultimate principle to the service of Radharani, to somehow to become a humble servant of Radharani. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalyo Das Das Anudas. Lord Chaitanya was also teaching. So here, Rupa Goswami used to meet sometimes with Sanatana Goswami, and they would discuss their different writings, because Sanatana Goswami was doing bhajan on the banks of Pavan Sarovara, which is nearby, and we'll visit that bhajan kutir. And they would meet together, and Sanatana Goswami, he was the elder brother of Rupa Goswami, and moreover, Rupa Goswami always held him in regard as his guru. Although technically, Rupa Goswami was, you can say, basically teaching both equally on the same level, but Rupa Goswami in terms of rasa tattva, in terms of the teachings that he was delivering on the order of Lord Chaitanya, are something higher, something deeper. Generally they say that Sanatana Goswami, he was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to distribute this Sambandha Gyan. And Rupa Goswami is distributing Avideya Gyan, or Avideya Tattva. But basically they're one in terms of their position. So Rupa Goswami, he was thinking in this humble mood, because a Vaishnava, no matter how exalted he is, he always feels lower than the straw on the street. He was thinking, Sanatana comes here, but I have nothing to offer him. He is my superior, he is my guru, he is my elder brother. I want to worship him, I want to give him something. It would be so nice if I had some rice and some milk and some sugar, kishmish, raisins, and I could make some nice kheer for him. And I could offer to my Govindaji, my Parama Radyadev, my Lord Govinda, Radha Govinda, I could offer and then give some nice kheer, sweet rice, prasad, to Sanatana Goswami. But what to do? He's a vairagi. He's a vairagi sadhu. He has nothing. He just takes a little madhukari. But he had this desire. He had a good desire. And good desires we should always cultivate. Because good thoughts, they reward us. That's the speciality of Kali Yuga. By having good thoughts, we get rewarded. By having bad thoughts, we don't get punished. That's a special compensation in Kali Yuga. In previous yugas, by having a bad thought, you would get punished. Simply for a bad thought. Even Jesus discusses that in the Bible. He says, if one thinks about, or if one lusts after a woman, it is the same as if he laid in bed with her. This is in Bible. He says, the man is seeing some lady, oh, she's so nice, I want to enjoy. He's thinking. He's lusting after her body. Then it's just the same as if he had met her privately. That reaction is there. Even this was 2,000 years ago. We'll just speak in Satyuga. But in this Kali Yuga, our Shastras and Mahajans are telling us that we get so much benefit and reward for good thoughts. Thinking, well, I have nothing, but let me offer a big artik. Oh, I'll build a big temple for my deity in my mind. Or I'll distribute 100,000 plates of prasadam today. I'm cooking a big pot of khichdi and puris and sweet rice. And now I'm distributing it. I'm standing in the main street in Moscow and I'm passing this all out, distributing Mahaprasad. Now I'm on the trains in Moscow. I just distributed 100 Bhagavad Gitas in 1 hour. These are good thoughts, very good thoughts. These are the topmost thoughts. The thinking about distributing Krishna consciousness and glorifying Krishna. These are purifying thoughts. These are beneficial thoughts. We will increase our devotion. We will increase our attachment by good thoughts. So Rupa Goswami is showing that example here of good thoughts. Have good thoughts. Think, yes, let me serve my brother. Let me serve him some sweet rice. And what happened? His thinking was so good and so pure and so attractive to Krishna and to Radha, that although he had no facility to produce or cook any sweet rice to offer to his brother, Sanatana Goswami, but his thinking was so pure and so attractive, only his thinking, what to speak about acting, but only his thinking was so pure and so devotional and so full of love and so selfless, that Srimati Radharani, she came herself. She was attracted by that thinking. You can imagine. If our thinking is of such a level of purity, of purpose, that it attracts Radharani to come right to us. And she may take a disguise. One lali, one beautiful chori, Barsana chori, right? Chori? Chora and Chodi. One Varsana Lali, one lady, one young girl. She was about 14 years, 2 months and 15 days. Just about. Only about. 14 years, 2 months and 15 days. She came by and she said, Radhe, Radhe, Baba, Baba. You can imagine. You can imagine when Radharani chants Radhe, Radhe.
Okay, Baba.
Here she is. Jai Shri Radhe. Oh, Baba, Radhe, Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Radharani ki, Jai. Rupa Goswami Pada ki, Jai. Sanatan Goswami Pada ki, Jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Radhe. So what happened was this beautiful, as you just had darshan, this beautiful Kishori Gopi came. Although this particular Gopi, this advent of Radharani, she made this, she, all the same. No, actually, when Radharani came, she bought the rice. And she, this Radharani made everything ready because the difference is this Radharani knows that this servant of Rupa Goswami doesn't know how to cook. So to make it easy for this servant of Rupa Goswami, Radharani cooked herself. But when Rupa Goswami was here, he knew how to cook, or he knows how to cook very expertly, because Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari. And she's going every day to help Radharani cook breakfast for Krishna in Nandagaon. Maybe that's her preparation. Maybe she makes sweet rice. I don't know. So then, this beautiful Kishori Gopi, she says, hey Baba, wake up, wake up. I know you're sleeping there. You Babas, you're always sleeping. You say you're chanting 10 lakhs of rounds every day, 5 lakhs, 8 lakhs. But you're just in there, you take some marukari. Oh, say, Baba, uto, uto. So then, Radharani is very funny also, no? So then she goes and says, my mother, she gave me, she said that the Baba, he's getting very skinny and he needs something to eat. So you please, you take him some rice and milk and some chini, some sugar and some raisins and all these things, and you give to him. So this is my mother sent me here, and you take this. And then she left. So then Rupa Goswami, He gathered some pieces of dried wood and some dried leaves. He made some fire. And he made some sweet rice. And he offered it to Govindaji. So now it's Govinda Prasad. Sanatan Goswami came and they had Harikata. They discussed all about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And then Rupa Goswami said, oh, I have something very special today. I have some kheer. Some Govinda Prasad. Govinda Bhog. I want to offer. So, you have kheer? How you got? No, it's Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy, Radha's mercy, maybe he said Radha Kripa, whatever. Because that's our general expression. Everything is Krishna's mercy, everything's Radha's mercy, depends on which line you draw. Radha Kripa, Krishna Kripa. So then, they were honoring the sweet rice, and Sanatan Goswami, as he took one bite and another bite, he started trembling. And his hair was standing on end. He was becoming inundated with the most ecstatic transcendental emotions. His whole mind was saturated with the deepest feelings of love. His whole heart was palpitating with intense spiritual attraction. And he was saying, Rupa, how did you make this sweet rice? What did you put into it? Or where did you get these things? He said, oh, actually, One chori, one barsana chori, she came and she gave me, one Kishori Gopi, she gave me these, some rice, she said her mother sent it for me. And then Sanatan Goswami, he sat, he closed his eyes and he sat. Oh. Rupa, you had, Radharani herself has come and given this rice and given all these ingredients to make this sweet rice. You just had sakshat darshan, direct darshan of Srimati Radharani, Radhika, Vrishabhanu Nandini. And then they were embracing each other and crying, oh, Kotai Radharani Prema, Kotai Go Prema Mahi Radhe Radhe, Kotai Go Prema Mahi Radhe Radhe, Radhe 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 Radhe, Kotai Go Prema Mahi Radhe Radhe, Vrishabhanu Nandini, Radhe Radhe, Kanomano Mohini, Radhe Radhe, Kanu Mano Mohini Radhe Radhe Ashtashaki Shiromani Radhe Radhe Ashtashaki Shiromani Radhe Radhe Kotai Go Prema Mai Radhe Radhe. So after the ecstasy died down, Sanatana Goswami said, actually, this is very bad. This is very, very bad. Oh, and Rupa Goswami is becoming very... Baz is at, oh, my older brother, I'm getting some, you know, sauce. I mean, I'm getting some correction, chastisement, rebuking. So he's very humble mood. You know, oh. As Indians do, they come in front of Thakurji. Oh, Rasa Bihari, oh, I'm very bad. You know, please pull my ear. Tell me the right thing. Tell me the right thing to do. Oh, please. No, Tom. So like this. So then Sanatana Goswami said, actually, the point is that we should, we only want to give service to our Swamini. Our only aim and objection is to serve, serve, serve. Dasi ano, dasi ano, dasi ano, dasi. But somehow, we have taken service from Radharani. She had to walk all the way here from Yavatgram, or Barsana, depending where she's living. Now she's staying in Barsana. For Magmas, for Falgun and Chaitra, Radharani is staying in Barsana. Then after that she comes for Vaishak and whatever. The other months she goes three months to Yavat. So she walked all the way here carrying the rice and sugar. This is very bad. So then although there was one moment they were so elated and so happy, then they started crying. Then Rupa started crying, oh, I'm very sorry. So these kind of deep pastimes and deep exchanges happened here at Terakadamba. Shri Terakadamba ki, Shri Rupa Goswami Pada ki, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Shah.